Our reading this morning comes from John's Gospel, chapter 6, reading from verse 25 until 35. Let me just explain the setting of this. I think this is an incredible chapter. I really do. If you look to the bits before, you'll see that Jesus feeds the 5,000. And it tells you at the end of that story that after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet that's to come. And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. And then we have the story of Jesus walking on water to his frightened disciples in the boat. And then we carry on the reading here. Jesus, the bread of life. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, you're looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of God, man, will give you. For on him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. In this verse that I just can't believe it really. So they asked him, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, it is written, he gave the bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, always give us this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. May God bless his word to our hearts and to our minds.
Can I just share, I don't think it's a text really, but it's a word that is, I love this word in Hebrews chapter 3. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and he is the one to whom we are accountable. Shall we just pray? Lord, we just pray that you will open our eyes this morning to see the wonder of the revelation of Jesus in his word. May we see you and meet with you in your word, for we ask it in your name. Amen.
Amen.
There are two things that I am passionate about, and I'm not particularly a passionate person, really, by nature. But there are two things I'm passionate about in the Christian life: prayer and God's word. I've been a local preacher now for 60 years, so I've preached a good many sermons. A lot of them have been on prayer. But with shame, I have to confess that when I looked through my book box, my big box of sermons, I could only find one that I preached on the Bible. A little paragraph in it, though, helped me date it quite precisely. It was December 1979. And this is what I wrote and preached, probably at an evening service in a Methodist church somewhere in Ipswich, I can't remember which one. And this is what I wrote. I was baptized this morning at the Baptist church I've been attending for several years. I submitted to baptism in order to become a member of the fellowship and so give to the life of the church as to give to the life of the church as well as receiving from it. One of the things that has come to me with great power since I've been worshipping at Stoke Green is the centrality of Scripture to the worship week by week, to the organisation of church life, and to the daily life of the committed Christian. And it was as I read that that I felt I had to share with you this morning the vital importance of God's work in the life of those who long, in the words of our church text this year, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I'd like us to go back this morning to a very familiar, well-loved account of the risen Christ meeting two disciples on the Emmaus Road. It was the evening of the first Easter day, and it's recorded in Luke 24. The two people, probably Cleopas and his wife, two people who knew Jesus well, who loved him dearly, two people who'd seen all their hopes and dreams dashed, broken on that terrible, dark Good Friday as they watched Jesus die. Two disappointed, disillusioned people trying to make sense of the rumours that they'd heard of the empty tomb, of the angels telling the women that Jesus was alive. And they told this to the traveller who joined them on the road. Jesus himself, of course, but they didn't recognise him. They didn't or couldn't recognise him. But just listen to what Jesus said to them after they told him about their disappointment, about their doubts. He said this, you, glasses again, even if it's in red I can't read it. Jesus said to them, you foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory? Then Jesus took him through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I wonder, do you, like me, long to hear God speaking to you, explaining things to you, things that confuse you and trouble your mind, helping you to discern what is true above all the conflicting voices in a world that seems to have lost its way? Do you need reassurance and blessing? You know, God speaks to us through his word. That word that has been miraculously passed down to us through those who, in the words of John, one of the disciples, as he wrote in 1 John, people who have heard and seen with their own eyes, handled with their own hands, the word of life, Jesus himself. not just John and the other disciples, but countless men and women whose lives have been transformed by this word of life. So concerned with the truth that they were prepared to sacrifice even their lives to pass it on. To hear God speak, we need to hear Jesus. Jesus is what God looks like, what he sounds like. He's the living word of God. Hearing his voice is not so much a skill that we have to master, but a person we need to meet. And where do we meet him? We meet him most easily, most clearly, in his word. But there is a skill involved. It's the skill of learning to distinguish his voice from all the other voices that deafen us, fill our minds, the persistent voices of the world that so easily just overtake his still, small voice. What does Jesus say in John chapter 8 and verse 10? My sheep recognize my voice. How are we going to learn to recognize his voice above all these others? Only by immersing ourselves in his values, in his priorities, in his passion, as we meet him in his word. The daily discipline, every day we can walk with Jesus and hear him encouraging, challenging, reassuring us. It's a daily discipline. It's not being a chore. It's not a chore that we have to get through before we can rush off to the important things of the day. It's a discipline that if only we'll submit to it, we will find it to be the source of inexhaustible joy that those disciples found. Do you remember the words at the end of that story? The traveller came, met with them, sat there and broke bread with him. And it was as he broke the bread, they recognized him. The scales fell from their eyes. They saw that it was Jesus. And what did they say? Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scripture to us? We'll know that joy as gradually the scales fall from our eyes and we see him as he really is. You know, reading God's word, it's something I wish I could pass on to you, the joy, the sheer joy of meeting Jesus each day in his words. You know, in his last conversations Jesus had with his disciples before his death, which we can find in John 14, 15 and 16, he says this to the bewildered disciples who just can't really understand it. All they know is he's saying he's going to leave them, and that seems the most terrible thing of all. He says this, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. And the wonderful thing for us is that the Spirit has come. He is there to guide us. May we never turn to the Bibles without first asking God to reveal himself, to speak to us, to guide us into the truth he wants to reveal to us today through the Spirit he's promised to give us. Day by day, he will warm and our hearts afresh with the glow of his great love. But we forget so quickly, don't we? I can never read that passage. in John 6 without thinking, had they forgotten? Had they forgotten what happened just a few days ago? Well, not even a few days, a little while ago. I find it really important to keep a prayer journal so that I can record each day the word that I feel God has highlighted for me in my daily course of readings. I can't believe how many times it's proved to be just the word I've needed. Can I just share with you this morning just a personal example that happened only just a few weeks ago? That morning, a Christian friend phoned up to ask my advice on a spiritual matter. I listened and advised, put the phone down, and started to worry that I'd given the wrong advice. I asked God very quickly to forgive me if I had. And then I remembered what I'd written in my journal, my prayer journal, that morning. Just listen to what he gave me that day. The Sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom so that I know how to comfort the weary. And I can remember writing in a bracket, "Please, Lord," after that. Morning by morning, he opens my understanding of his will. Once again, another "Please, Lord!" exclamation mark. Please, Lord. Those verses in Isaiah chapter 50 and verses 4 to 5. But how did God know? But he did. And he does. Reading the Bible need not be boring. It can be exciting and challenging. There's so many ways in which we can access it now, aren't there? So many different translations helping to make it clear to the modern ear, but always with that ring of truth that J.B. Phillips, that was the title of his book, he's a translator of the Gospels and the Acts and the letters of Paul, the ring of truth, all having the same ring of truth. I'm a book person. I like to hold a book. Actually, the older I get, the easier I find to read. My arthritic fingers do not like finding my way across the screen or anything like that. But there are so many different ways. Lectio 365 has been part of my morning prayer time for several years now. And it's been such a lovely way to start the day. It's an international, interdenominational movement of prayer, mission and justice. A non-stop prayer meeting that started in 1999. It's a daily devotional device that helps you shape your life by praying the Bible every day. Pray, pausing to be still. R, rejoicing with the psalm and reflecting on the Bible passage, expecting God to speak to us. A, asking God to help us and others, and why, yielding to his will in our lives. Meditating is good for our physical, mental, and emotional well-being. So many times it's become quite the in word, hasn't it? But it's also biblical meditation is good for our spiritual growth in grace. Holding the word of God has given, holding the word that God's given you, maybe memorizing it and consciously bring it back into your mind like during the day. I think it's a bit like sucking a sweet, except this sweet doesn't rot your teeth. It's like a long-lasting sweet in our mouth, sucking on it, remembering it in our mind. Psalm 119, verse 103 says this, "How sweet your words taste to me. They are sweeter than honey." That's one way of just taking a word, meditating on it. I'm looking at that one. Rejoice in the Lord always. We could suck that most days, couldn't we? We could suck that. We could take it in so that when things start to go a bit wrong, we've got it there. We can have another suck on it and remember what God has said to us from his word. What does Paul say in Corinthians 3:16? Let the word, the message about Christ in all its fullness fill your lives, fill your heart. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And he goes on to say, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. You see, the word of God doesn't just bless us as individuals. It blesses us together as his church. At this time in our church's life, we're looking for God's guidance for the way we should move forward. I believe that it is as we look together at God's word, immerse ourselves in it, allow him to speak to us at prayer meetings, house groups, in worship, we'll begin to see not just what we would like in the future ministry, but his plans and purposes for Stoke Green. God longs to guide us on the right paths, but he can only do that when we're daily learning at our Master's feet his precepts, his values, and his purposes. They need to be incorporated into our living and thinking through that daily walk with him in his word. All that he requires is our willingness to obey when he asks us to act on the truth he's revealed. We started the service. I and the group sang, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." That's Psalm 119, verse 105. His word will be a lamp to guide us. It will be there to guide where we're standing now. He will show us just the step before us, the one we need not hesitate to take. But he will show us only a little way ahead. He will show us the direction we need to move in. I don't think he'll give us the whole picture. He will just wait for us to take the steps that he's shown us. He won't walk it for us. He wants us to walk in trust and obedience, that he will guide us safely to his destination. Oh, there are so many hymns we could have sung this morning. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's one. We sing it with such gusto, but when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Where he says we will go, where he leads we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Oh, we sing it, we love singing it. But isn't it hard to do? We don't sound so good at the doing, are we sometimes? Trusting him and obeying the step that he's asking us to take. Perhaps you wonder why I chose that reading. In our Bible reading, we heard Jesus revealing himself as the bread of life. We prayed together the familiar words, "Give us each day our daily bread." Jesus wants us to trust him, rely on him, depend on him. He is our creator, our provider, our sustainer. By asking him for daily bread, we are expressing our complete dependence on him. He is the bread of life. It's a 24/7 commitment to put him first. He's all we need. He's the bread of life. He's the sin forgiver, the new life giver. He's our daily bread. He gives us strength when we're feeling weak. He gives us friendship when we're lonely. He gives us forgiveness for our sinfulness, hope in our struggles, and wisdom in our decisions. He's always there for us. Are we always there to meet him in his word, because that's where we'll meet him. That's where we'll find him. There was another hymn. I know the last time I preached here, I said this should be Stoke Green's anthem. Di sent me the words of it. Can I just remind you of a verse in there, which we're not going to see, because there was another one that I felt was the right one. After I chose that, I kept looking at it again and thinking, perhaps not, perhaps there was another one. But just let me remind you what that one that says, the God we serve is looking for a people who will give true attention to his word. Close attention, I think it is, if I could read my... No, due attention. Who will give due attention to his word, approaching scripture with a prayerful stillness, prepared to wait until his voice is heard. I think that's probably where we are at the moment as a church. And who will move from hearing into action, allowing Christ to shape them day by day. May we be found among their honoured number, a people who will listen to him and obey. May we, that's my prayer, may we be those people who do that, listen and obey.